Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, folks, this is The Diary. This is your host, Stacy. I forgot my name. We're in four of a 5-day stay where Grandma is here with Elijah, and this is The Diary. We come out of SAC every Sunday from 3 to 4, and Elijah is going to join us for the first 10 minutes. His mommy is in Las Vegas visiting her dad and having some fun with some friends who are celebrating a year anniversary of their marriage. So Grandma thankfully, happily took Elijah because, you know, I told my daughter, you don't do this, baby. It ain't my baby. And she's never pressured me to be that mom where she got to live with me and I got to solve all her damn problems. No. So when she wants to go and have fun, Elijah comes with Grandma. Huh, baby? You with Grandma? Huh? Come on. Come say hi. This is Elijah. This is Fernando Elijah Brown. Say hi. Huh? You want to say something? No, you can't have it. Say hi. Grandma's on the air. Say, we open the Grandma. Oh, now you don't want to talk. Yeah, Grandma and Elijah. You want to say something? Yeah, okay. He said that's all I could say. You can't have it, and he may turn into brat mode. Who knows where he goes when that happens. But today on the show, we're going to talk about blacks in the Revolutionary War. We are going to talk about it real quickly and our role that we play. We're going to talk about what mothers, girlfriends, and wives can do to make a good father. You know, exactly. See, that's what Elijah, he knows all about it because we talk about it all the time. Yeah. Exactly. Let them know, Elijah. That's what we going to do. That's how we... Okay, so all you young men, Elijah, you heard it from Elijah. He said, handle your biz, bud. Yeah. So we are also going to be talking about our program that we're beginning tomorrow. It's a program for young men that are involved in our Boys to Men project. And... we're going to be training them to become tile men, craftsmen. We're going to train them, and the program starts tomorrow. So we're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about the dumb MF, and I can't cuss until I put Elijah in another room. So the dumb MF of the week award, and everybody should know by now who gets that. And, you know, we're going to shoot a little history. And lastly, we're going to talk about solutions. You know, I go on the show every freaking Sunday, and I'm always talking about problems and what the problem is, what the problem is. So my older brother said, what the problem is? You know, you're always talking about what the problem is, but you don't talk about solutions. So the Association of African American Single Mothers was designed to solve problems, not to get a bunch of money and buy me a Bentley, which of course never happened because the biggest contributor to that program has always been me, but it's supposed to be me. So, you know, we're here to solve problems for, you know, black Americans always because that's what I am, and I focus on the problems that I see and relieving the sufferings of my people and all people, you know. So that's what we try to do, and that's what we're going to talk about. And, we're going to talk about solutions. And the Boys to Men Youth Empowerment Youth Entrepreneur Program, it's a solution to help these young black men, you know, who need help. You know, they need help. They're not getting it at home. They don't have an ounce of sense themselves. Exactly. That's what Elijah said. And, you know, somebody has to help them. So I'm here to help them. I can relate to them, you know, raising two young men myself. Never had a problem relating to young boys. Six brothers, you know, I kicked it with my whole young life. Never had a problem relating to young black men, you know, and vice versa. So that's how we going to do it. And let's see. I want to give a shout out to all the new listeners. Like I said in the blog, I don't know if it's the little baby Stace. You know, that face is hard to resist. If you like in little baby Stace or more than that little, like I said, a boyish Tom girl with the blonde dreadlocks being the same person or whatever. But or the blogs that I write, I don't know what it is. But I thank you guys for listening and tuning in. And definitely, you know, email me at director@aaasm.org and give me your thoughts because, you know, people have to put their money where their mouth is at some point, you know. And being a black person with southern roots and, you you know, my parents were both Baptist and Catholic, and having some really bad personal experience with a lot of organizations that, you know, they simply take your money and they don't do anything. You don't get anything back for your money. Even if you give to some of the big organizations, you don't really know exactly who you're giving it to. So, you know, as part of this, you know, Boys to Men project, you know, I'm asking for people to exactly recommend, thank you, Elijah, recommend people to the program, and we're doing this on a nationwide basis. It's not just here in Sacramento, but I'm starting here because that's where we live. We're doing it on a nation, Elijah, a nationwide basis. Get your butt, oh, he, Elijah, you know, if you want to reduce all energy costs in your home, just have Elijah at your house for 30 days. Because if Elijah is a light buster. If Elijah sees a light on, Elijah will get a stepping stool and cut it off, won't you, Papa? Yes, he does. He's such a big boy. He's such a good boy. Let's get this to Elijah for cutting off the bathroom light. That was for you, Elijah. He said, thank you, Gunny. Thank you. All right, so this is a diary, baby. This is what Grandma does, huh? Uh-huh. He said, because when I was born, you know what you guys talking about a black president? That's all I know. I'll be two in July, huh, Pop? Yeah. Yeah, and that's all I know is a black president. What y'all talking about, huh? Huh, Pop?
Yeah.
Okay. Grandma's a bomb. Grandma's a bomb, ain't she?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. You love me very much, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay, God is good, ain't he?
Bye.
He said bye on that one. You better say yes to that one. I'll take you to the woodshed, boy. Grandma, say, Grandma, hook me up. I can watch TV in on the patio. Let him know. Let him know. Say, that's how Grandma treats the babies, because the babies didn't ask to be here, right? So this is a diary. Well, we got some new songs, okay, and I'm a little distracted because Elijah's here, but we're going to let Elijah hang for another 4 minutes, and he's going down and out in Beverly Hills. Ain't you, baby? Huh? Okay, it's all good. But you do love Jesus, don't you? Yeah. Okay, you do love Jesus. Okay, that's what he just said. All right, so it's all good.
Bye.
Bye. See you later. All right, go to the patio. We got some new music, rhythm and blues. Okay, and that's what I think I was on when Elijah's mama was born. You know, a little rhythm and blues, and there was Jesse and... And so when Elijah, that's our first song, and Loose Moose, new music. So this is the diary. We love you. We're going to talk about all kind of good stuff once again when we come back, the blacks in the Revolutionary War. More importantly, as an extension to what we talked about last week, what mothers, girlfriends, baby mamas, wives, all you chicks can do to make a man a good father, because you have a responsibility too. Right? Right, Elijah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We're going back to Do You Love Jesus?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. All right, you know, I was about to take it to, yeah. Okay, it's all good. All right, this is a diary. We're going to play first.
Bye.
Yep, let them know. That's exactly where you're going. Say it again. Bye.
Bye.
All right, say, this is Elijah. I'm going. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, this is a diary. We're going to play our first lick. It's called Rhythm Blues. And that's what I, once again, I think that's, yeah, when your mom was born. It was a little combination of both. Here we go. This is the diary, baby. We'll be right back. Say bye.
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 Thank you.
baby. That was Rhythm and Blues. And this is your host, Stacy, on the diary coming out of SAC every Sunday from 3 to 4. And I hope Elijah's down. We're going to see. Extended lunch, extended breakfast, extended everything. Ty walked him around the park twice. So by 3:10, he would be ready to chill and not get a spanking. So this is the diary, and today, let me finish up with some stuff I was supposed to intro on. You know what? People, if anything is going to change, like I said, it's going to be regular people that's going to make the change. And, you know, I get the paper and I put that on the blog right before the show, you know, just to see what happens in SAC, because I watch so much of the national news. Half the time, I don't even know what's going on down the street. So I make sure I get the paper and I throw most of it away because most of it is crap. But one thing that caught my eye is how Loaves and Fishes, which is a nonprofit organization here in Sacramento, and a bunch of indigent homeless people filed suit against the county of Sacramento for failure to provide the needed services for homeless people. You know, come on, government. You know, come on. Your sole purpose, I think, is to help people that can't help themselves first, then all the rest of us. You know, I mean, you cut budgets for children, the elderly, and now homeless people. Well, who's getting the money? All the penitentiaries and what? Not the schools. You know, what the fuck is government for if not to help those people that are helpless and out? And that's why I say to my listeners, you know, my sole purpose of being self-employed now that I'm older, all of my money, because I'm working on it. And people that really know, I'm working, it's here. All of my money is going to help these black young boys, help single mothers, all of my money. I tell my kids, I'm not leaving you nothing, okay, because I've taught you, you've had me. So if you can't make your own money by watching me and seeing me and learning from me, then I'm sorry. I'm not going to leave you a bunch of shit for y'all to fight over, okay? But all of my money from every one of my businesses under the heading of SF Johnson Enterprises is going to help people that can't help their fucking selves. You know, that's what this country has to get back to. Anytime a nonprofit has to sue the government for failure to provide service for homeless people, medical services, well, what do? Just let them die? You know, we're the most wealthiest country in the world, and this is how we treat regular fucking people. You know, capitalism? That is what? Is that how we do it? That's what we do, huh? That's how we do it? Hell no. So we need to get our shit together, and regular people like you and me, listening and talking, have to get our resources and our brain power together to help these regular people. And that's what we're going to do. So let me see. I just want to give a shout out to my friend Amber, whose mom passed away Wednesday after cancer. You know, she was a soldier. She like, I'm not taking no chemo. I'm just going to go. All right, so when I'm gone, I'm gone. And she finally passed away. And, you know, Amber had been rearranging her whole life to take care of her mom. And her mom passed away, and her mom and her were close. And I just want to just let her know we're praying for her family and everything. And I lost both of my parents, and there's nothing like the loss of a parent, unless you've had the loss of your child. But thank God, knock on wood, that's not supposed to happen ever. But nothing like the loss of a parent. Nothing like the morning after you know you've lost your parent, close or not. That's something that takes a while to recover. So shout out to their family and love, and, you know, and your mom is up there now and ain't suffering, ain't tripping. And, you know, so God bless you anyway. What else? Because we got to get to the get down. All right, so Blacks in a Revolutionary War. Let me see. Thank you, lawsuit. Elijah, he's pretty cool. You know, that's my dude. We got a good relationship, had him up. You know, grandma get up. Grandma's early bird. That's why I'm catching the worms, baby. You know, you hanging with grandma, you up at 5:45 walking down the street. So, like, Elijah, wake up. Shake him up. Even at his age, he ain't getting up. So, you know, he out at the park at 6, drinking juice and walking through the park. And we have a video log or pictures of the 4 days. I'm going to make his mama put it up somewhere so we can see it. Him and grandma chilling, all right? You're supposed to do that with your – I'm young enough to chill. I thank God I had my daughter at 23, 20 sons early. You know, so I can, I may be, shit, if I do it right, I could be a great, great grandma if I do it right. So I'm trying to do it right, baby, and put a lot of knowledge in some young kids, especially if you give me all boys, give me all boys, because these black boys got to get it right, and I'll have me just a little crew getting it right. All right, blacks in the Revolutionary War. Let's see, I got some stuff up here, hopefully. Now, you know, and I personally love black people because we worked very hard to make sure this country was successful. And that's my big picture, and I study history. You know, and long story short, black people work really hard to make this country successful. So in turn, this country should be working really hard to make black people successful, and it's failed in every way, shape, or form, and form. All it's done is done its best to oppress black people, you know, and... Hey, it's not cool, but times they are changing, and we need to change with them. So during the Revolution, the colonists, both black and white, worked together to fight what they saw as British injustices. Interracial mobs rioted against the Stamp Act of 1765 and other despised regulations imposed on the colonies throughout the 1760s. American protests targeted British officials and soldiers in 1770. Crispus Attucks, a fugitive slave of mixed African and Native American descent, led an interracial crowd of sailors and laborers in attacking the British Guard at Boston's customs office. They threw snowballs, chunks of ice, and stones. In response, the soldiers fired back into the crowd, wounding six and killing Attucks and four others. Snowballs. Who in the hell sent them there with snowballs? My God. For rebellious Americans, the Boston Massacre, as this event was named, symbolized Britain's armed determination to deprive them of their rights. When the American Revolution began in 1775, all but 25,000 of the 500,000 African Americans in British North America were enslaved. Wow. All but, okay? All but. So 475,000 African Americans were enslaved. Many were inspired by American proclamations of freedom, and both slaves and free blacks stood against the British. The blacks, Minutemen of the Battle of Lexington in 1775 were of Pompey de Braintree, Prince de Brookline, Cato Wood of Arlington, and Peter Salem, the slave of the Belknaps of Framingham, freed in order that he might serve in the Massachusetts militia. Prince Easterbrook, a slave in Lexington, was listed among those wounded in this first battle of the war. African Americans also served in the Battle of Bunker Hill, where former slave Salem Poor received official commendations as a brave and a gallant soldier. At first, General George Washington refused to recruit black troops. It was the British who made the first move to enlist blacks. In November of 1775, Lord Dunmore, the British colonial governor of Virginia, issued a proclamation that all slaves belonging to rebels would be received into the British forces and freed for their services. Tens of thousands of slaves escaped from southern plantations. And over a thousand fought for the British. Ty, a Negro who bore the title of Colonial, led one interracial guerrilla band in New Jersey. In the South, such bands called the Needies, the Bandities. Oh shit! I'm sorry. B-A-N-D-I-T-T-I burned and looted plantations, stole horses, and liberated slaves, some of whom became British soldiers. the demands of war eventually changed Washington's mind, and he began to recruit black soldiers. Before the war was over, more than 5,000 African Americans from every state except Georgia and South Carolina served in the Revolutionary Army. Slaves, many serving in their owner's place. Oh, really? No, coward motherfuckers. Isn't that something? Serving in their owner's place. You know, let's stop there for a minute. Right, is there any wonder why America is in the shitty state that it's in today? Is there any wonder why there's a black man as president today? And for all you dumb motherfuckers, President Barack Obama isn't an African-American. He is African and American. He's not like me, okay? His daddy wasn't like my daddy. His daddy was Matubu, okay? All right? His daddy probably had a Klan name, all right? So isn't that some shit for your ass, America? Same motherfuckers you ain't over here, Don't wonder why Barack Obama walked with a pimp wall. He's not an African American. He's an African and American. Huh. So, many serving in their owner's place. Don't even trip. Were promised freedom in return for their service, and then you're going to lie. There were several black regiments, like the Rhode Island Regiment and Massachusetts Bucks of America. But most African Americans served in integrated units. The last integrated American Army units until the Korean War in the 1950s. Thus, African Americans in search of freedom from slavery served on both sides during the Revolution. As a result of the Revolution, the population of free blacks in the United States increased from about 25,000 in 1776 to nearly 60,000 when the first federal census was conducted in 1790. They have a portrait there. Blacks were already experiencing semen. Okay, not like that kind of semen. 1780, prior to the war, many blacks were already experiencing semen, having served in the British Navy and in the colonies states, as well as on merchant vessels in the North and the South. This sailor's dress uniform suggests that he served in the Navy rather than with a privateer. All right, and it's so amazing. You know, it's like, oh, black, you're black, you know how to do that? What the hell makes us any different in ability other than the fact that we have brown, beautiful skin? People are stupid. Speaking of stupid, we didn't do that, motherfucker. All right, we're going to do this. Slavery was important to American patriots. It was the opposite of slavery and served as, what? Slavery was important to American patriots. It was the opposite of liberty and served as a benchmark against which they measured their own freedom. They continually warned that they would not be denied their rights, they, us, saying they must not be the slaves of England, oh, white people. The ideals of the Revolution emphasized the incompatibility of slavery in a free land, and slaves petitioned for their freedom using the words of the Declaration of Independence. African Americans hoped that men who wrote such lofty words as "all men are created equal" would realize the immorality of continuing to enslave their fellow countrymen. We expect great things, one group wrote, from men who have made such a noble stand against the designs of their fellow men to enslave them. So, you know, black people in the Revolution, yeah, we'll fight. You know, who wouldn't fight for their freedom? I can't even imagine, okay, being a slave. I can't even imagine. That's why I won't even go to work. I can't even imagine. Okay, so that was blacks in the Revolutionary War. Yeah, we down for the call as long as you do what you promise. But, of course, promise not kept. So, you know, shit, as usual. But, yeah, black people, we down for the cause. We built the country. Hell, yeah, we're going to fight for it. And you going to give me my freedom? I'd be dumb not to. Anyway, speaking of dumb, the dumb motherfucker of the week. Oh, my God. McChrystal. What is that fool's? Stanley McChrystal. Got caught. Okay, Rolling Stone magazine. You know, and I'm thinking, this is America. You wanted that shit to happen. That just didn't happen. You know, anybody that's going to take an interview, your ass, anything's liable to happen, let alone Rolling Stone magazine. And you're a four-star general. What the fuck is your staff giving an interview to Rolling Stone magazine? That should be like, huh? What? I expect you to take your ass to Oprah before that shit. That's just dumb, okay? And then you get caught doing the shit. But, you know, even it's got to be the black president thing because, you know, we here in America, we have a civilian command and control system going on. That it's a no-no. It's a no-no. It's written in all of our, no matter who the fucking president is, civilians run this nation. Civilians, not the military, call the shots. You can be court-martialed. You can be, I mean, that's like treason to be caught bad-mouthing your civilian leadership. Everybody else, white, knew it and was like, oh, no, we ain't with this motherfucker. Well, I know the president is black, but we just went a step too far. Dumb shit. So every other nation out there could say, oh, look, Rolling Stone magazine on top of it. Nothing serious. Some little bullshit. Rolling Stone magazine. And you clown your president. Is it because he's black? I'm tending to think so. As stupid and as idiotic as fucking George Bush's ass was for 8 years and just fucked up everything and laid it in the lap of Barack Obama. This dumb motherfucker goes out there and does this shit. He is the dumb. You know, we got a yearly thing now that we'd have made this up. Why not? Somebody going to win for the year. And we've only done two, but this motherfucker wins, okay, for the year so far. I don't think anything is even more dumb because you see other countries, motherfuckers that hate us, seeing this shit go on. Yeah, I would have fired him. Fuck resignation. See? But because, you know, I ain't the president, I would have fired his ass. Okay, so dumb motherfucker, other week, award, four-star general, stupid motherfucker, McChrystal, Stanley. All right, that's the motherfucker. He wins. He's dumb. I don't care if your president is purple. Everybody and their mama knows that that's the biggest no-no. So there you go, motherfucker. All right, so no music. Let's go on, and then we'll play some music later. Next thing we want to talk about, next thing I want to talk about, well, moms. You know I had this all last weekend was Father's Day, all emotional and crazy and shit, and then I'm ragging on dads on top of it, which, yeah, you know, a man is supposed to be better than a woman, you know, and when it comes to responsibility, I think, especially when you're going out there making a family, you know, I put the majority of the shit on you. But as a woman, you know, it can't even ever start if a woman makes the right choice, you know. And, you know, I fucked up, definitely, you know. But as a mom, you know, I got every book in the world when I knew I was pregnant with Jessica when I was 23 years old. I got every book in the world because I wanted to be the best mother I could be to my kids. So I studied. I knew, okay, let her cry for 12 minutes. If she cries for more than 12 minutes, you go in there, you check her. If you know she's fed and the diaper is okay, she ain't got no fever, let her cry. And lo and behold, I swear to Mr. Jesus, my Savior, that 11 minutes and Jessica was asleep. So I studied on how to be a mom, and then I loved it because I loved loving my kids, you know. And, you know, but I made a mistake. I chose hastily, and then I get pregnant before I'm married, you know, and I have Jesse, and I'm still in college, and I got a year to go. And luckily, her dad stuck it out with me until I was in college, you know, until I finished, and I got my degree and everything, and then I lost my mind and married a fool, you know. I knew Jesse's dad for 6 years, you know. I met Jesse's dad when I was a 16, and Jesse's dad 10, 11 years older than me. So I was too young, and he knew it, I knew it, and I didn't mess with him, boy. But wait, we met again when I was 18, boy, and it was on like BK. And we lived together for a while. He helped me through everything, and, of course, we broke up because we were doing shit the wrong way. So, but Jesse came out of it, and then I got married to Freddie, blah, 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 blah. But long story short, a woman chooses. A man don't choose, and that's what we need to teach our daughters. A man don't choose you. You choose his ass. And make sure you choose right. Make sure he has the right kind of relationship with his mom. And he ain't a mama's boy. Make sure the word work is not like kryptonite to that motherfucker. You know, we choose women. You got to make sure you choose. All right? So, you know, and when you know you, like me, when you know you fucked up and you done had a baby by a motherfucker you know ain't going to do right, then put the pressure on his ass from day one. Let him know. Go to the Department of Child Support motherfucking services and let him know day one, this child ain't a puppy, motherfucker. You make a man if that's what you got to do, and that tends to be what we do. Now, and I say that out of experience because, yeah, I had Jesse out of wedlock, and then I got married, had the boys. So, yeah, three kids, I got two dads we talking about. One, I married and had two boys with, you know, both my boys, same dad, everything, and Jesse, you know. But then 20 years later, you know, Jesse, I'm keeping Elijah because Jesse is in Vegas, you know, and her dad lives in Vegas. You know, so I get a phone call, and over time, all the relationships have healed. It's so important that a girl knows her father, you know, and my daughter is the most beautiful inside and out. She deserves to have her father, and her father is just as sweet as he want to be, you know. And they kept calling me, he on the piano, they collab on, okay, she, New York, okay, daddy playing, Jesse singing. Mom, did you hear it? You know, that's the best motherfucking thing a single mom 22 years later. You know what I mean, but you know what? I made the motherfucker accountable. You know, I made him accountable. Jesse ain't going to just disappear. So at some point, yeah, get your shit right. She needs you. You need her. You know, and yes, you see, I say, Miss J, he's a great man, Miss J. You need to be getting your kid. Why don't y'all get back together? You know, I said, well, when you and Jesse get married, me and Craig will get married. Okay. I was like, oh, no, I was tripping, okay? I know, okay? Just because you like him don't mean I'm married. But that's, I mean, I was so happy last night. That's a single mom's success fucking story, okay? You make them accountable for that shit. Same thing with my boys. Where my boys at? With their dad. He's still a little baby bitch, so we ain't got the relationship yet where he said, okay, safe. And Jesse said, hey, Mom, you know, I got to tell you, Dad was giving you mad props. You know, mad props. And I showed him your picture. He said, man, your mom has always been so cute. And I was like, damn, I don't want that little pee-pee, okay? It's all good. Mom's chilling, okay? Because Mom did the right thing. All right, Mom was a mom. Mom didn't have Leroy and Bobby and Sammy and Billy and everybody, Jesse's daddy. I got married. The shit didn't work. I let the shit go and raised my kids. All right, that's what you got to do, single mom. Make their ass accountable. First of all, if you don't choose right, make their ass accountable. And you never guaranteed a right choice. But when you do this shit, you know the best interest is the kids. So I text Jesse. I said, you know what? Just dawned on me that all my kids have wonderful relationships with their pop. The single mom that's supposed to have all fucked up ass kids and everything's supposed to be all fucked up. So I'm letting have all other single moms know that I ain't 45. And, you know, that's 25 when I was going through it and trying to figure out, oh, what the fuck did I do? And here I'm with all these little babies. Make the nigga accountable. Be right yourself, and 20 years later, they trying to marry you back to the old fool. So that ain't never going to happen, but living right, you know, living right, doing right, and believing in Jesus. You know, you hold, moms, you hold God's precious commodity, right? A child. There's nothing more precious to God than a child. So he going to take care of you. He going to, I do, this old raggedy nigga told me, oh, yeah, I see a mom, I ain't, because they always got food. Uh-huh. You know, for them and their kids. So, you know, that kind of, you watch out for them kind of people. Mamas, choose right. But we're going to take a break. I got to check, make sure Elijah ain't jumped out the window or some shit. All right, I'm going to play Moose, baby. This is the diary coming out of Sacramento every Sunday from 3 to 4. And this is your host. You know I love you, but this is Loose Moose. I'm going to check on Eli. Be right back. Right, baby, that's loose, baby. And SpongeBob got my grandson mesmerized in there, so Sponge Bizzle got him nice and handled. So they love him from SpongeBob. But that's my boy, though. SpongeBob is the man. He got vocals, he's kind, he just can't drive. So I love him from SpongeBob. All right, so this is the diary, baby. We come out of SAC every Sunday, and I love Sundays. You know, and sending my video picture log to mommy, letting her know what her son is doing. You know, he go out there because grandma got the hookup. You know, you go to grandma's house, we got video feed on the patio. So, you know, he know as soon as grandma opened up them blinds, he out there cutting on the TV. You know, no, not on Sunday, son. We said we talk to Jesus on Sunday. So he got a little schooling on that, and it's all good because that's how you got here. That's how we blessed, you know. I tell my daughter, you know, pray for your son. How you think you blessed? Somebody was sitting praying for you from the day of conception until I die. Pray for your son. Pray for yourself. You know, all that stuff is real. So just like the diary is real, and what we doing for motherfuckers is real. And what we talking about right now is some real shit. Black Youth Entrepreneur Program. We starting tomorrow, all right? So my story begins with these young black men that, like I said, Freddie was the king of Natomas when he left because he was soon to be 20, okay, and did not have a felony. So he left as the king of Natomas, okay. All of these young black boys, fault of their, of course, you know, but it's so easy for them to get a felony. You know, they don't have any guidance. Nobody gives a fuck about them. And then when they do get caught up, they caught up for life, you know? So what are they supposed to do? So I'm having a conversation with the young Gabriel. You know, when I met him, I was like, Gabriel? I said, oh, like the angel? He's like, no. I said, yeah, you are. Don't you worry about it. And just as handsome as he wants to be. He better be glad I ain't into young boys. Because Gabriel would be putting laying pipe and carpentry, okay? No, I'm sorry. But, yeah, he's part of the program. And he said, well, you know, and this boy, I met Gabriel on one of my walks because I see people going back and forth to the trash can. But he's dressed so nice, like he's a government worker. He got the reflective clothes on. The truck is all nice. He's clean cut and nice looking, him and a friend. And so I'm like, and they in my complex doing it, you know, 5 in the morning, 4 or 5:30. And so I stop them. I make sure they pass me because I see which way they're going. I make sure I walk that way, and I stop them. I'm like, hey, I said, this you? This what you do? This you? And they're like, yeah. I said, wait. You guys just dress like this, like you government workers, and you just go in there, and they got the truck bed full of, you know, pallets and cardboard. They just collecting trash, you know, like a bum, but nice, you know? And I said, well, how much you make a day? He's like, oh, about $100. So that's just one of the things that he does. And then I saw him a week later. I'm walking again to the liquor store, getting some early morning. And I see him get out of this Mercedes-Benz, fat as hell, tinted windows, on the phone, looking neat. I said, wait, Gary, wait. And when I met him the first time, I said, I'm going to get your number. I'm going to give you a job. You know, I like your hustle. You got this hustle. So, obviously, you know, you don't mind working, you know. And then I see him a week later. And I said, wait, Gary. This Mercedes don't go along with trash. I'm like, what the wait, hey, I'm missing something. What's up, bud? I said, you running hoes? I'm like, because that's what they, you know, they get them a couple of hoes. And there's some dumb bitches out there willing to do that shit. And get brothers like that in a Mercedes. And he wasn't like, you know, he's going to tell me what he's doing, but, you know, that's all they got. You know, and I talked to him. I said, hey, look, I'm paying for you to get your license. I called him yesterday. I'm paying. So you the first one. I said, but you fucked me. And he's like, look, Miss Stacy, I don't fuck people that help me. I'm like, yeah, that's what they all say until I'm left fucked. Okay? He's like, no, I don't do it, you know, and we were talking. He's like, you know, I like nice things. I said, yeah, I could tell. I said, but you got to tell me. That car don't go with trash, my brother. You got to, hey. And he don't want to tell me, of course, but I know. I ain't dumb. Shit. I talk to these boys. I know these boys better than I know what the girls are doing other than being little hoes. But, you know, I said, well, we're going to get this shit right. He said, well, you know, I really like nice things, but I can't get them because, you know, those are the, I said, well, they don't get, when I was saying they don't go with trash, he said, well, those are the only jobs that they'll give me. They'll let me have. That's what he said. That's the only kind of jobs they let me have. So I was like, what you mean, let you ask? Because it's felony. You know, you put that shit on an application. You do, you damned if you do, and you fucking damned if you don't. Okay? You're damned if you do. If you put it on there, oh, and you black, I don't care how handsome and clean cut. You're trying to play the role. Gabriel's playing every bit of the role that he can fucking play to try to get acceptance out here in this old fucked up world, you know? And what he got to do to have what he wants because he made a mistake? And it's not like the motherfucker didn't go to jail, okay? He went to jail. He did his time. And he comes out and he tries to be clean. But he's saying, Miss Stacy, that's the only job they give me. I said, well, I can give you any kind of fucking job I want to get. That's them. I said, you show up Monday morning. He made sure that I asked him to give me his resume 2 weeks ago. He was there. I told him, call me, let me know you got the message. He called me. You know? He said, I show you I really want to do this. I will do this. So I'm paying for Gabriel to get his license so he can become a contractor, general contractor, whatever the fuck it takes. Because if these young boys can have their own business, they don't have to worry about what the fuck they going to give him. You are they, motherfucker. That's what I tell these little cats. You are they. You are they. Put that in your mind. And better yet, mothers, grandmas, put that in your children's minds. They know they. Because when it comes to a black man, don't nobody give a fuck. Even other black people don't give a fuck. And that's why I need black people that are listening to me. You listening for some reason, okay? Listen, okay, and act with me. Help me get all these little young boys. Because if we can teach them how to be tile layers and carpenters, and we can teach them trades that they can use. They can open their own business, and we can teach them how to do so successfully. And then they don't have to rob you and me and run your daughter and my granddaughter in the future. They ain't got to run everybody's daughter because they can go out there and make a living that they want to make. They made a mistake. They made a fucking mistake. And because they're a black man, that means they're doomed for fucking life. And I don't think so. So this is the diary. This is how we do it, baby. You know, fuck that. My job is to help these young black men because you know what? I had the king of Natomas. Fred T. Thomas Posey is the king of Natomas when he moved because somewhere, somehow, I put it out of my gut to make sure my sons stayed out of trouble, even though that little young knucklehead thought he, you know, thought Twix were free, okay? But we got him straight and in the right path, and he's the best little dude to this day. They make mistakes. Give them a fucking chance. But if you don't, they don't have no choice but to rob you and to run your daughter and to run hoes and to do this and to do that. They don't have no choice. They want to live just like you do. So this is a diary, baby, and I'm feeling kind of funky. I got two funks, Funk Button or Funky Van. Funk Button is funky and Funky Van. So I will be back. Got to check Eli, see if Spongy Bizzle still got him hypnotized because that SpongeBob, he is the shit. This is the diary, baby. We'll be right back. Funk Button. Baby, Funk Button, this is the diary. This is Stacy, your very, very serious host and grandmother. Mom will be back tomorrow. Only God knows. But we good. Me and Eli, we chilling. He's such a good boy. It just amazes me. Everything is, you're welcome. Excuse me. You're welcome. Excuse me. I'm like, what? You're so polite. You're welcome. Oh, we went to the Chinese restaurant. We have pictures. We went to the park. We have pictures. Oh, everybody loves him. And I'm at the store clowning with my little Indian friend at the liquor store because he got a crush on me, so I always play with him. You know, I said, look, I need my money. Here's your baby. I need my money. So everybody's laughing. This lady come out of nowhere. Is that Elijah? I'm like, Elijah has fans. Yeah, you're busting me out. I'm doing the This Is Your Baby Daddy, and I need my money from my cutie pie here. That didn't work, and She's like, oh, yeah, I remember your hair, and I remember Elijah from the yard sale. I'm like, oh, thanks. All right, good. Elijah has fans. All right, so when you see Elijah, you will not be surprised. Elijah has fans. So what was we talking about? You know, let's go back to the boys. You know, we got to help them. We have to help them. You know, we have to help them. And, you know, and I say that in this field because, you know, I work in construction and I deal with the issues of, you know, illegal immigration and, you know, workers in this field. And, you know, there is a big problem specifically in construction. And, you know, eventually over the next, I think, 5 to 8 years, our government's going to really buckle down on, you know, companies that hire illegal labor, especially in construction. And they really share some personal experience. You know, yeah, you're going to put the window in backwards. That falls in, you know, injures 4 people when you don't understand the English that the directions are written in. And obviously you don't even know the fucking trade you're in. So, you know, I'm going to teach my young black men and young men, and they got to be black, but, you know, 30% of them brothers can't even get a job at McDonald's. So, you know, and over time it's going to be really hard to hire illegal labor, and somebody's got to do this labor. And somebody needs to be trained. And what better way to, what they say, if you want to, well, whatever, don't give a man a fish, teach him how to fish or some shit, you know, whatever. And that's what we're doing. We're going to teach these young boys. And a man needs to know how to use his hands on top of it. And, you know, my son, his eyes would just light up when he was with another man learning something manly. And that's exactly what's missing from these men. So I'm sure I'm not brilliant as fuck, but this is what they need. And no one in any way, shape, or form thinks enough to do these for these young guys. But, you know, if it was not for Freddie and Christopher Posey, you know, the loves of my life, very few men I love deeply. And I think there's 3 of them. And, one's my dad, of course, and the other 2 are my sons. Deep love, deep dying love, the kind of love, if you think about them and look at them, you cry. Only 3 men in my life, those are the 3. I love my brothers, you know, in a crazy way because they made me so cool. But that kind of dying for you love, 3 men and 2 of my men that I raised by myself, motherfucker. So, you know, I have a deep love for the plight of young men, especially those that have been abandoned, okay, as if no fault of their own, at absolutely no fault of their own. And there's no excuse ever for a man to leave his son. There's never, ever an excuse, ever, as far as I can see. You could make up a million of them, but there's none unless you're dead. So, you know, I wanted to spend the last part, you know, telling people, you know, if you're listening in any way possible, whatever way you can, even if you can hook us up with people that can hook us up with people that can hook us up with people that can hook us up, blah, 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 we don't care because this is very important, and I'm paying out of my unemployment pocket to get this boy together because he seems to want to do it. And he'll be able to make me and a whole bunch of other people and himself a lot of money. And he said, well, one other guy, he's like, well, Stace, you know, I tried to get the other dude, but you can't make grown people do nothing. He said, but my uncle will want to come and learn. I was like, shit, tell your uncle to come on, baby. You know, all they need is somebody that's really going to help them. They thirsty as fuck. All they need is the hand that's really going to help them. And help them in a right way. You know, I try to help this other little knucklehead. He every time I talk to him, it's about what his mama didn't do. I said, you're 25 motherfucking years old. Every time I talk to you, you're talking about your mama. I said, fuck your mama. What does your mama have to do with your 25-year-old ass? And that's why he loved me, because a woman can come at him and say, fuck your mama. Because, yeah, I know the mama. And she ain't doing nothing but harboring a fugitive. You ain't trying to nurture that boy into being a man. So that's what you got. And you the only thing on his mind. You done ain't did something. 25 years fucking old. I wish Freddie was. I'll slap Freddie in his mouth 5 years from now talking about what mama. What? What? Mama? You a man. It's all about you now. So we got to help these boys. We got to help them, especially if they're black. They targets anyway. So this is a diary. Help me, help them. Help yourself. Shit, I know all of y'all know some. You know, everybody I know got a brother that's been to prison, except for me. You know, damn, we got to help them, man. We have to help them. And if you're not going to help the old ones, help the kids. They don't know no better. They mamas, a lot of them is hoes. And then the ones that mamas is good like me, they think they so fucking snootily good, they don't do shit for nobody. And fuck you if you ain't like me. You know, come on, motherfuckers, come on. Time is out for that shit. And if your church, okay, don't have a program that specifically references helping these young black men, don't give them motherfuckers another penny of your money, okay? And their pastor's driving 3 Mercedes and a Bentley. Don't give that motherfucker shit, because that is the number one problem besides education. If your church ain't got an after-school program that's got results for your kids, don't give them motherfuckers shit. Give it to things like Joyce Meyer Ministries. Give it to shit like T.D. Jakes. Give it to those kind of people. Those are people that's out there doing shit. Don't give it to Pastor Buckety Buck for no more chicken motherfucking dinner. This is a diary, baby. This is where love abounds. Woo, I do so much better by myself. But see, you know, I was prepared. I had jamming-ass, bad-ass, concentrated-ass parents. They put me on this earth with a particular purpose. And I want to end with this shit before I play my music. My name is Stacy. Stacy Felicia Johnson. My name in the Greek means resurrection. I'm the last of my mother and father's 11 children. And we all know what resurrection means. And we all know that fucked up state black people are in. And that just gives me so much hope that my parents, you know, I wasn't even 18. I couldn't even resurrect before my daddy left this fucking earth. But my parents gave their last child, their last motherfucking child, not the first one. Her name ain't Stacy. Not the first one, you would think, right? The last one. Resurrection. What the fuck that mean, Mama and Daddy? I mean, you probably don't even know. God knew. We bringing niggas up. We bringing new life, baby. This is the diary where Stacy loves you. Big Stacy at AASN.org, see me and my baby. And little baby Stacy loves you more than ever. Have a wonderful fucking week. And I'm going to tell you all about what we doing. Love you. Have a good week.